Hello and welcome to God Calling Vocation Vibes, Conversations with the Little Sisters of the Poor. I'm Sister Carolyn, and I have with me a guest whom I'm going to reintroduce, who helped me with the first part of this podcast episode on Sisters and Seekers, Sister Mary Alexandra.
Well, thank you for letting me come back, Sister Carolyn.
Indeed. So maybe, Sister, you could tell the people who have joined us what the SEEK conference is, because we attended the SEEK conference and the theme of it was Be the Light. And so today we'll be talking a lot about Be the Light from St. Matthew. Well, you want to tell us about the SEEK conference, please?
Yeah, sure. So the SEEK conference is hosted by the Fellowship of Catholic University Students Focus, which was founded in the late 90s, I want to say. And they put on an annual conference that unites tens of thousands of Catholic university students, the best Catholic speakers, different organizations. It's just this massive networking opportunity in the young adult Catholic world. And it's very largely attended by a lot of our US bishops who are very much engaged in that kind of apostolate. And there's a lot of priests, a lot of religious, a lot of seminarians who are there as well, all for that purpose of building up the young adult Catholic world, in the US. So it's a week-long conference, annual conference, and that's about it, really.
So we little sisters of the poor participate. Our mission in the church actually is service of Jesus himself and the elderly poor. So we're an international congregation. We have homes for the elderly poor on five continents, and we bring our dear elderly poor with us in our hearts as we come to be among these young people, because the elderly truly, truly care about them, and we want to connect young and old, which is something Pope Francis talks about quite a bit. So there we are in the midst of all these. So there were about 20,000 young people, and not only trying to be a witness to the light of Christ, but also humbly recognizing what a beautiful witness that whole gathering of faith really was. So when we were at the conference, we did some video clips of some of the young people who visited our booth. We had a display there. And so I'm going to have us pause now and join Sister Mary Jamina as she's speaking with Anna, Jillian, Lindsay, and Lynn.
Hi, I'm Sister Mary Jamina, Little Sister of the Poor, and I'm here with some students from Belmont University. I'm Anna, Jillian, Lindsay, and Lynn. Now, I'd like to ask you girls, what do you think about all these religious and priests around here? How do you find them to be a light for you in your lives?
It's just such a beautiful example of living for Christ and a light and like our lives and each other's lives, and everyone just has so much joy and light, and it's just so precious to see, and all the different orders and all the different things that they do, like specifically together, it's just really beautiful.
I think it makes me really hopeful too for my personal vocation, and I think just like Lindsay was saying, just the joy that the religious life have is just really beautiful to witness.
I think a lot of the times we don't get to see like such dedication in a lot of the people in our society now, and so just to see people give their whole life to Christ is so beautiful.
It just brings me so much genuine happiness to see all these people here.
Great! Now, what do you think is the special gift or grace that God gave you so you can be a light in this world?
I think sensitivity. I think I can relate to people, and I love conversing with other people and kind of just meeting them where they are. So I think that's definitely a gift that God gave to me.
Yeah, I think for me it's like hospitality. I think I just love like doing this for other people, welcoming people. I think I have like a welcoming spirit. So yes, hospitality.
I think just me really wanting other people to know the Lord and just wanting to help them. Just walk alongside them in that.
Evangelization.
Yeah.
Yes.
For me, God gave me the gift of my voice in my singing, so I love singing at Mass for people.
Beautiful. you so much, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the week.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Sister Mary Alexandra, what are your thoughts about some of those beautiful insights that they gave?
Yeah, well, I was just really struck how much they were talking about joy. And, you know, I think that the world that these young people live in today is so digitalized. And, you know, so much of their life is lived out like in social media or in online gatherings, I guess, kind of like this in a way. You know, but there's not a lot of human contact. You know, and the younger you go, the more you see that, you know, there's like the whole generation of small children whose first years in school were spent online, you know, because of the pandemic. So I think that the act of coming together, like in such great numbers, you know, if you will, united, you know, in the Holy Spirit, in Christ, there to support one another, I think that it fans this flame of joy in everyone there, you know, and it's I think it's refreshing for them. And I think that as consecrated religious, you know, in the 21st century today, I think that that's a big part of our witness that we're called to give in the world today, you know, as prophets of the kingdom, that, you know, that there is a true connection. There is real love, real warmth, real gospel living, you know, that goes beyond the screen, you know, beyond the phone. And I think it's, I think that strikes the kids when they see that, or not kids, excuse me, young people.
Yeah. They know it is. It's pretty awesome. And people feel so comfortable there. That strikes me. And like Lindsay talked about, the spirit of welcome and hospitality as her little group visited from one table to another of displays of different religious communities. And it's beautiful how you see the young people are not at all timid about approaching religious because they feel welcome. And of course, we ourselves have a vow of hospitality. So by vow, we welcome Jesus in the person of the elderly poor, but that spirit of welcome overflows. And really all religious, even without a vow of hospitality, but all religious are trying to live the welcome of Jesus for people who come into their lives. And so it was just beautiful how the young people recognized that. And I think also, in regard to hospitality, there's something to be said about how people feel welcome to come to a religious sister, brother, or priest when they have a special need, a prayer intention, a sorrow to share. They just walk up to you. And it's just like Lynn had brought out about this sensitivity and so forth. And we have sensitivity, hopefully, because we live close to the Lord, but people feel comfortable coming up to share things with us. And that makes the ground where we're standing holy ground, because Christ is communicating to others through us. And we're just poor, simple people. Religious sisters, brothers, priests are ordinary human beings, but God's grace transforms those interactions and, like I say, makes it holy ground wherever he is active.
That's so beautiful. And I completely understand what you're saying. I really relate to that. And there's something really special about all these different congregations coming together with our unique charisms. But when we're there, we don't put our charism aside, but we live our spiritual maternity or paternity in a more universal way by stepping outside of our usual apostolate and encountering, you know, another demographic of the people of God. You know, we're not often around young people the way that we're around the elderly, you know, day in and day out. So it's very enriching for us. You know,
yes,
it's
truly
really
it
mutually. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And Lynn spoke about how she was really struck because the religious there, they have a dedication that is forever. And young people often think like forever is really a big stumbling block. Forever? Can a person really make a commitment forever? And they're just so amazed when they see all this witness of people who have been able in their own human frailty to step forth and to commit their lives to God forever. And, you know, I never felt so free in all my life as the day I made my perpetual vows and said forever. And people are like, wow, you know, but I felt free because now I belong totally to him forever. And he's going to walk with me and he is not going to let me down. And that was so freeing for me. So it was interesting how the young people picked up the significance of that forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Anna, she talked about using her gifts of song. And another thing that I think young people looking at all the different vocations are concerned about is like, well, what about my gifts? What about what I studied in college? What about the things I'm passionate about? But you know, God uses everything for his purposes. And so it is beautiful, the huge array of gifts and talents and backgrounds from which God calls people to consecrated life. And it makes this marvelous kaleidoscope of gifts for the service of the kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing goes to waste in this plan. Huh?
Nothing, nothing. So let's go now to our next video clip and listen in as Sister Joseph Marie talks with seminarian Nick Farmer.
Good morning.
Good morning, sister. How are you?
Good. My name is Sister Joseph Marie from Little Sisters of the Poor.
Hi, sister. My name is Nick Farmer.
Good. And how do you see the theme of this conference, Be the Light? How do you see it by being the light?
So this conference is a light to the world in a very unique way, in that there's so many priests and religious here that the laity just don't see on a regular basis. So seeing that encouragement and the faith of you all and your joy is such a light to us, and it encourages us to live the faith more joyfully, more boldly, and to consider a life that you live.
That surely is needed. And now, what gift has God given you to be the light?
I think God has given me a great gift of joy. I just smile easy. I make little jokes. I love to laugh and just have a good time with people. And I think that that's so good, because a lot of people think that the faith can be like so sad, or it's just not fun. But life with God is good and joyful, and I think my life is a witness to that.
That's wonderful. I hope you continue to radiate that joy.
You too.
Little Sisters of the Poor.
Yeah, yeah.
God bless you, Nicholas.
Thank you, sister. You too.
Nicholas.
So, Sister Mary Alexandra, what were your thoughts about that interaction, the things that Nick said?
Yeah, again, I think that he was just really struck by this like mass visibility. There's something really, really striking about seeing these like huge crowds of habited men and women, you know, and priests. And it is, it's exciting. It's enthralling. It gives like a kind of a spiritual high, you know, but with that, you know, there's also it gives us a great sense of responsibility, because as the saying goes, you know, the habit doesn't make the monk, you know, so whatever it is that makes us who we are, it has to come from not only from within, but also from someone other than ourselves, you know, from Jesus Christ himself, you know?
Really. And, yeah. You know, the young people just talked about this witness and the radiance of the light. But also, I have to say that we religious and priests, we consecrated people who are at the conference, see the light of Christ in these young people. It is so awesome how they are so sincere in their spiritual life and trying so sincerely to come close to the Lord on their journey with him as they seek the path to which he is calling them, and in which he's calling them to use their gifts. And I love this one thing that Nick said. He talked about how people are worried that a life dedicated to God is going to be sad, and there's going to be so much to give up and all of that. And he said, life with God is good and joyful. And I thought that was so well said, because life with God is good and joyful. He gives you all the grace you need to make the adjustments and to detach yourself from things that don't lead you deeper in love with him. But it's good, it's joyful, And religious life, sure, it's not without its crosses and sufferings like any vocation in life, but religious life is good, joyful, fun, beautiful. And so I thank Nick for his testimony there.
Yeah, and you know, just like you say, it's that's a lifelong process, right? That's a lifelong journey, because there's always more in us to be purified, you know, and the Lord's work in us is not fully complete until the resurrection, right? So right. We're all these works in progress. But you know, for me, that's another aspect of beauty in these gatherings, is that we're all baptized, right? Like you said, you know, we perceive this great light in the young people. And I don't know if a lot of people realize that religious life isn't a sacrament the way priesthood is a sacrament, because our sacrament is baptism, right? It's the fullness of baptism that we live. And, you know, like Mother Teresa said, you know, our vocation is Jesus Christ, you know, truly. Yes. So there's just this like really beautiful interplay that yes. happens there. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I think a lot of times people who are discerning their vocation in life think that they are not gifted enough or perfect enough or whatever, they're not good enough. But really, I don't know about the other congregations, but we don't accept perfect candidates because there are none. We're only Jesus is perfect. And so we accept people who are sincere in their love for him and desire to grow in their likeness to him. And together there's a synergy, and together we can give that beautiful witness in spite of our own limitations, each one of us.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, that poverty that we all have, I would even venture to say that that's kind of the whole point, that we are limited and imperfect, you know, because it shows, you know, the power of God is made perfect in your weakness. You know, there's a reason why he chose to be born, you know, as an infant in a stable, you know, this witness of poverty, like in terms of what the world deems important, right? Like you said, like, you know, intelligence, you know, advanced degrees, whatever it is, you know, ultimately wisdom comes from God and God alone. Wisdom and joy and peace comes from him. That's it, you know? So I think he absolutely chooses the weak and the limited on purpose.
Yes. And it's such a humble honor and joy to be chosen. So let's hear now what Audrey and Sydney and Rachel have to say about being the light.
This is Audrey.
Oh, I guess I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm Audrey. I'm 20. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. And I go to University of Kentucky.
I'm Rachel. I go to UK.
I'm Sydney. I also go to UK.
And we love seeing sisters who are on fire for Christ. It's so inspiring to see how long you all have served and how you're still on fire for Christ after 50 years.
It always feels really like a fascination to see like sisters, because you guys have such a strong call into a certain cause. You've worked so hard on that for so long, and yet like God still fuels you with more energy, more willing to like do more work. And I think it's really amazing.
It's very inspiring to see all the sisters work together and form a very tight-knit community and become each other's family in order to help the greater good.
Yes. Very good. Thank you so much. And we have one final question for each of you.
Okay.
Please name one beautiful gift that God has given you that you can be a light for our world.
I think God has given me a beautiful gift of vocation. I have a really strong calling to help with world hunger. I'm studying food bioscience and agriculture economics, so I really hope to do research working towards like working with world hunger and food sustainability. So I felt a real strong blessing to like have found this calling to do this work.
Yeah. I'm good at math, so I work in bridge structures, so I work to keep people safe and keep bridges.
Engineering.
God's given me the gift of working with young children. I'm a swim coach for little toddlers, and then I babysit a lot, so I've always been, I love working with kids. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. So, Sister Mary Alexander, what are your thoughts about some of the insights that these fine young women have shared with us?
The first thing that came to mind is a little sister in my community in Queens. She's going to be, oh, today is her birthday. She's 104 today. I have to call home and wish them happy birthday. Anyway, last year at the Diocesan Jubilee Celebration for Religious, she celebrated 85 years of vows. That's insane. Can you imagine 85
Beautiful.
years consecrated to the Lord? And this little sister is she's a light in the community. She's a gem, and she'll do anything to make other people happy. Even if maybe she doesn't like being in the spotlight, but she'll let us fawn over her if it makes people happy and it helps them meet Jesus, which it does, because she's gives such a good example of fidelity. But this little sister, 104 years old, she reads all day long. In the chapel by herself at the same time every day in and day out, to pray, to say her rosary. I see her studying the constitutions when we have study time. She's never stopped seeking, and she found this eternal fountain of youth that for some reason consecrated celibates have access to, this fountain of youth. And our Holy Father, he talks about that too, and he says, there's nothing on earth like an elderly religious who have eyes that sparkle and shine. And I think that's what he's talking about. Jesus is forever young, he's forever fresh, he's forever new. And this little sister, she gives witness to that, how it really can, sustain a life if we're humble and willing to receive constantly and willing to be taught constantly. So I am very blessed to live with her. I definitely don't take that for granted. But she's the first thing that came to mind when I heard these young women talking about how long we stick with it and how long we work, so.
True. This is a great example of what Rachel said. They've served for all these years and they're still on fire.
Yeah.
And Audrey also talked about that they've served for so long, but somehow they always have more energy to do more work. But it's not all just work. It's a joy. When you do what you love, it's a joy. And are there days we're tired? Yes. There are times when I wonder where I'm going to get the energy to put one foot in front of the other, but then I just turn to the Lord and count on His grace, and I look down and my feet are going. So, He does give the grace, He does give the energy, and the energy in my heart has never left me all through the years. It's just such a gift from Him.
I can testify to that.
And then
Oh.
Sydney, I loved how she talked about how she witnesses how sisters. It's so inspiring how they care about one another. They form a tight-knit community. They become each other's family. So as she would go from one community to the other there at the SEED conference and see in each group of sisters, there's so many different personalities. There are different ways of seeing things. There are different gifts and different strengths and weaknesses. But she could see how the sisters in each religious family are truly a family. And that is one of the great blessings. It's also a challenge, but it's a great, great blessing that we are family and that we care about one another and we're there for one another. And I think Sydney kind of accentuated how there's a synergy because she talked about how we work together for the greater good. So we're not just in this for ourselves. This is for the Lord, and together we work for the greater good. So our limitations and our weaknesses, kind of disappear in the beauty of all the gifts that are given.
It's so true. And like what you say about the different cultures, the internationality of our congregation has never been an issue for me to accept. I've always loved it, and I still do. And I'm fascinated and excited, to learn about other cultures and to eat, food and things like that. But it's true that, people are not the same everywhere in the world. We're not. People really do think differently. Even in different parts of our country, we can see a difference in kind of a mentality, or way of interacting with each other, and it's not a negative thing, it's just reality,
Yes,
and so yeah, so a lot of times, I mean, you can have two religious who have the exact same formation, who live the same rule of life day in and day out, and who share the same work, but they're not always going to agree, they're not always going to understand each other, and we have a choice, we can either turn our back on that and just say, well, we just don't get each other and just live with the tension, or we can choose to be humble and to compromise, and to look for the good in the other person's perspective that maybe I never considered before. Maybe my way really isn't the best way, or maybe there is no better way or worse way. It's just whatever works, for things that are morally neutral and that type of thing. But, we really help one another in that way, to grow in littleness, paradoxically, if I can say that.
And we have the Gospels, and we have our constitutions, our rule of life, which help us enormously. The spiritual formation that we receive as consecrated religious is very, very, it's a huge gift. And it's very, very empowering in terms of encountering these challenges that come about in daily life. Sister mentioned about internationality, and our religious family was founded in France. And one that little tiny touch of internationality that we have that I just love is we call each other ma petite sœur, which means my little sister in the French language. And so there's always that extra little touch of respect that I remember that this is my little sister. And no matter how different she is from me, she's my little sister, and I love her. We love our little sister. So
that's
thank you
beautiful.
Very much.
I'm glad you said that as a practicality, because we speak French with really awesome American accents. And so often people come to the home and we call each other ma petite sœur out of habit, or sometimes we just shorten it to sir. And they think that we're referring to each other as IR, or that it's short for sister, but it's just, no, it's just our nice American accent.
Expressing the love and the fondness we have for our little sister. Yes.
100%. Something else that's really, really beautiful about our family spirit and community is that we spend our holidays together. But what I appreciate in our tradition is that nobody is ever left alone. So I mean, if we're all different ages, right? So if you have a sister in community who's 75, her parents are probably not living anymore. And then so she would have to stay home. And then you have a sister who's maybe 25, and she's got siblings and nieces and nephews and grandparents. And so she's invited home for the holidays. You see how there could be a disparity there. But we just have this beautiful tradition of no, we stick together because we're each other's family, families stick together, and we get used to it over the years. I think our families get used to it over the years. And my mom would always like for me to be home on Christmas morning, but they understand and accept that it's never going to happen. But this is my family here. And so this is my priority, just like a wife and mother would prioritize her own family, if need be, over a special occasion.
And actually we come closer and closer to our families over the years in ways that you would have to experience to realize how truly close and more meaningful ways we become. But also in our religious family of Little Sisters of the Poor, we serve the elderly poor, so we can't leave them for the holidays. So the nature of our apostolate calls us to live the family spirit in this way. But I would like to say that family spirit, because all religious communities are called to live out the evangelical counsels, the family spirit really is alive in all these different beautiful congregations. But the nature of the apostolate is different. The circumstances are different from one religious family to the other. And so they each have their way of living out the family spirit. And each of them is really so beautiful. And that's how they come closer to one another and also stay close to their God-given human family, as we do in a different way.
Yeah, I have to say, there's nothing like waking up a centenarian on Christmas morning with a cup of coffee and wishing her a Merry Christmas. There's just a joy there, that that's like our Christmas gift, really, to spend it with our residents.
Yes, for sure.
Very blessed.
Well, let's listen now as our seminarian Nick once again chats with us and gives some advice. He's giving advice for young men who are discerning possible priestly vocation, but his advice is good for young women too. And then Sister and I will add some additional comments.
Hey, my name is Nick Farmer, and I'm a seminarian with the Diocese of Arlington here, and just want to give a little piece of advice to any young men that are out there who may be considering a call to the priesthood. I want to encourage you to pray. You must commit yourself to prayer and to getting to know the person of Jesus Christ, because the vocation of the priesthood is ultimately a marriage to God. So if you want to become a priest, then you need to get to know Jesus. You need to get to know him who you are dedicating your life to. And all the things that go on in your head, the doubts or the fears, all of that will dissipate if you deeply know the love of Jesus Christ that only comes through deep prayer, through meditation, contemplation, through the praying of Scripture, through the liturgy of the hours and the sacraments. Get to know the person of Jesus Christ, and he will lead you, whether you're actually called to be a priest or not. If you become close to Jesus, he will show you the way. He's shown me, and he's shown many others, and I know he'll show you too.
So, sister, your thoughts on Nick's advice?
Well, I find him to be a very solid young man and well-formed. You know, yes. And he obviously leads a deep life of prayer, and he's a good example for all of us.
Yes, really. Yes. Yeah. But, and what he says about you're going to be married to God, so you need to come to know God. And we as women are going to become a spouse of Christ when we make vows as a religious. So to come to know God and to bring, you mentioned about our spiritual motherhood, to bring these motherly qualities that we have, qualities and desires that we have to prayer and getting to know the Lord. And, you know, women have a special gift, I think, for creating a home. And I don't mean like a structure of a home, but I mean they create a place where people feel welcome. And so if we are going to create a home with God, we need to come to know him and to pray. Nick mentioned about the liturgy of the hours, the sacraments. We would certainly encourage a strong sacramental life and Eucharistic adoration. Sister, you want to comment on that?
I'm reminded of what Edith Stein said, and I might get this wrong, but that the soul of woman is fashioned so as to be a shelter where other souls can unfold.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So that really reflects what you're trying to say.
That's right. To create a home in our hearts for all of God's people and their needs. And just remember, you know, if you're discerning your vocation and you're having doubts, just remember that those inspirations are being placed in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So give them due consideration, bring them to prayer, get a spiritual director. If you're a young woman who would like to try out serving with sisters to see if this is how you can be the most beautiful you, then do that. You can look on our website. Sister, you want to comment on our website?
Yeah, littlesistersofthepoor.org. And you can go to the locations drop box and it will lead you to the website of any of our homes in the US, whatever's closest to you or whatever strikes your fancy. And there's also links, you know, you can learn about, you know, not only the spirituality and history of our congregation and our mother foundress, but also ways that you can engage, you know, according to your own inspiration or availability, you know, volunteerism, donation. I mean, there's just countless ways of engaging, you know, and joining our family, you know, even remotely in that way. So,
yes. Yeah. Yes. And if there are any young women out there who would like spiritual accompaniment as they're discerning or have questions about our religious family or another, we will be glad to help and direct you to resources that are available. But if you would like to journey with us and let us accompany you as you discern, or if you have comments about this podcast or other questions, you're welcome to email us at lspusapodcast@gmail.com. lspusapodcast@gmail.com. And lastly, I would encourage you, for the sake of the kingdom, for the honor and glory of God, would you like and share and follow this podcast, because that will help raise vocation awareness and put the thought of priesthood or consecrated religious life into the minds and hearts of more young people out there. So thank you so much for your support of our podcast. Our next one will be called Spring into Service, and it will talk about some marvelous opportunities for young women to do live in service and prayer with us, Little Sisters of the Poor. We'll hear from Katie and Michaela as they talk about their experiences. So be sure and watch for that next episode. And in the meantime, be assured of the prayers of all of us little sisters, the elderly poor whom we serve, and our whole Hospitaller family for you and for your personal journey with Jesus.
Amen.